So eluded readings, trying to tell stories about reading some recent poems. First, some aphorisms on reading in its relation to poems. Reading is desire before it is technique, tactic, strategy, certainly before it moves towards interpretation or judgment. Reading has to engage with another desire, that of a text. In this respect, it resembles sexual desire. In reading is a desire to know. Often this takes the form of wanting to know otherwise rather than wanting to know more. In particular, perhaps, to be at those openings of knowledge, not fully hidden, not fully revealed. This desire to know is bound up inseparably with its contrary or its desire intention. This is the desire to keep returning to the not yet speaking substance and motor of language. There is to be found there the pleasure of before knowing, of not knowing, in that state where it might or might not give itself over to knowing. Every reading arrives on the scene of a text with its own history and its own poetics, repertoires of reading modalities, genre readiness, gaps aching for texts. Every text was written by reading, is a place written all over with desire that awaits a reading that will bring to it another desire. Reading is an encounter between different desires shaped by reading. Each of these encounters is both unique and full of resemblances. Each takes time, encounters time, and intersects with other economies of time. Any reader is disposed towards certain kinds of texts and away from others. This is a complicated story, economic, social, psychological, cultural above all, if culture is taken to be the flows of text through people, the flows of text by way of people through people. The explicit poetics of a reader are not necessarily the implicit poetics of her or his reading. Genre does half the reading. Genre is a force field of multiple projections and introjections derived from the already read. Any reading either confirms or adjusts generic expectations. When there are no expectations, or few and weak, a reader is a stranger, an anthropologist perhaps, in a first-time encounter. Generic force in contemporary poetry is relatively weak. Participants are few and do not consist of an elite of the powerful. I make an exception for the busts. Participants can respond with an open play of genres and fragments of genres derived from within and without the field. The half of the reading that genre does has in these circumstances to be made good. The following list of imperative verbs stands for modes of engagement with and within poems. Move, play, do, make, say, know. Any one term could be a heading for all the others. Different heading, different poetics. Once textual desire becomes text, it becomes technical, and the technical means are textual, even where a poem seems driven by a desire to subvert textuality. Not all texts are scenes for the easy playing out of the desire of a reading. A reading may first be lured and then resisted, drawn to the scene for a willing seduction that is abandoned. Resistance can come from either or both parties to a reading. As a conscious play of power within a speech act, as political resistance, and or as a game of modulation with the resistors of linguistic circuitry. The current introduced into the circuit is reading desire. Technically, all of the following elements of textual production can be modulated to produce resistance. Prosody and syntax, especially in their interplay. Compositional segmentation and structure, including principles of cohesion, sequencing, and juxtaposition. Pragmatic markers, including signals of genre and deictic devices, ones that tell you what the context is. Lexis or vocabulary, encyclopedic reference. These last two, that's vocabulary and the encyclopedia, can take reading on a detour to other texts. The internet is changing the relatedness of texts. There is a final potential resistance that has no precise site, unless it be the end of the poem, a gestalt or consoling wholeness that is at once promised and withheld. We're still in the aphoristic mode, on reading before reading. When can the reading of a text be said to have begun? There is the convergence of two textual trajectories, mine and the book's. Reading has always already started. Concretely, it starts with the paratextual aspects of reading, book as object, cover, author's name, title, publishing details, acknowledgements, epigraphs, and the first visual sighting of blocks of text. You have some, very deliberately, some graphic sightings, some graphic representations of some of the texts that we'll be looking at on the handout. That's not just bad photocopying. The legibility at the level of the letter has deliberately been filtered out to see what can still be read. In a workshop, I can tell you a lot can still be read from workshopping. Yeah. Syntax, prosody, thematic material project forwards with the promise of arrival, or at least the promise of a chain of provisional arrivals. At the same time, the incorporation of syntax into longer strips of discourse announces a principle of aggregation that is itself a form of repetition. A reader has to do sentences or alternative grammatical syntams and their jumps. Prosody is a play with the repeatability or near repeatability of shapes within the signifying substance of language and writing. A reader has to do lines and their jumps. So there are two movements in relation to each other, forwards and the up and down, to and fro, push-pull of the somatic mnemonics of repetition. Inevitably, these movements gather up a drama of psychological motivation, what drives the sequence, what keeps it back, of social purpose, what kind of speech act is this, where does it place me and what does it want from me, and of knowledge, what does this utterance know about what? What is the shape and quality of its knowing? What is the difference between knowledge that advances and knowledge that repeats? When can a reading be said to have finished? These are not considerations that I will now apply.